The At Your Instep podcast is brought to you in part by Empire Cards. Check them out at www.empirecards.com.
Hello, and welcome to At Your Instep. My name is Morgan, and I'm joined by Jordan.
Hey guys, what's up?
And Mike.
Happy beginning of Game of Thrones Season 4!
Because remember that time Bronn took the rocket ship up and destroyed all the families?
Whoa, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Rockets getting introduced into Game of Thrones Season 4.
They're wooden?
Wooden rockets.
That's what the Werewood trees are.
Piloted by Hodor.
The ones with the faces?
Yeah.
The rocket ships.
Hodor!
So Dave is actually currently on vacation and could not join us. He's on vacation again.
Hodor. Lucky
son of a bitch. So, whatever. Dave, hope you're listening.
To be fair, he was pretty bored. He was like sending pictures up to Jordan
of a mountain, and he goes, "Can you tap this to add one red to your pool?"
Like, dude, like,
spend time with your family, man.
Come on, man.
He's in Iowa or something like that. Idaho. Oh, that's even worse.
Hodor.
So we'll go ahead and get started here. First, we're going to talk about the community. Me and Mike. Actually went up and did a team sealed event, so we definitely wanted to talk about that. And then we also want to talk a little bit about spoiler season since that started today. Ooh. And then we'll move into the game. We'll talk the SCG Open, GP Phoenix, the Legacy Open as well. And we'll go into our deck check segment, and we'll talk about the Legacy winning list. And then we'll move lastly to our question of the week, and of course the cleanup, as I like to call it now, where we do our thank you to our sponsors, everything like that.
The cleanup, I like it.
Yeah,
see? After our Insta.
I'm thinking. Man. This is what I do at work. So first, let's go ahead and start with the community segment. So, like I said, me and Mike and Mike's wife actually went and did a team sealed teal. All right, see, there we go.
Rio trio. Hodor.
We did a team sealed trios event up at Empire Cards and Games, mm-hmm. and it was a lot of fun. I have to say that first of all, Carl really knows how to run an event, so everything ran really smoothly. There was a judge that really knew what was going on, and it could have lasted a long longer than it did, but yeah, I mean, it was a good clip.
We started at 11, and then we had deck like swap and register, which is with three people on each team takes a while.
Yeah, most certainly.
Once round started, I mean, we were sitting in the finals. Humble breaks by like 6 or 7 o'clock. So
oh, wow.
it was really nice.
Right. Yeah, I mean it wasn't that bad at all. So
I mean it seems like they fixed a lot of the things from the first time we went to.
Yeah.
There was a couple of hiccups and
we did like it was nice. We did fully random sealed pulls, like they collected them afterwards.
Oh nice.
Yeah, and one team actually did get their seal pull back.
Right.
They called the judge and the judge was like
that's what happens.
I don't know what to tell you. I have zero things to tell you.
But
our pool wasn't very good.
Exactly. When they're calling a judge about it.
But do you know whose pool was really good?
Ours.
Oh, yours? Man.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty freaking sweet. So notable. So we had like a constructed blue-green deck, which
really
Mike
fun.
Played. We had a foil Prophet of Kruphix. Mm-hmm. We had a course of Kruphix, so that's pretty good. Kiora.
Yeah,
we also had the Planeswalker, so that was pretty good. And just a bunch of other like
prognostic Sphinx.
Oh yeah, prognostic
so
Sphinx.
People that like your opponent literally just goes, yeah, not beating that.
Oh,
deck.
I had Fate Intervention too.
Oh.
I ulted to Kiora 5 times in the Swiss matches. So
yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Insane.
We had a straight mono red aggro deck, mm-hmm. which was pretty good. We could have added white to it, but all of our good white cards were like in the 3-drop slot and were double white, so it really wasn't worth the splash. And it was a very consistent aggro deck in the first place, so you can't really mess with that.
Yeah.
And then we had a black green mid range list that had like Reaper of the Wilds in it, and like just some solid removal and things like that. So I feel like we all like picked up. Like clutch wins a lot of the time.
Yeah,
we were actually playing.
I felt like the way our decks worked. Like my deck, so I played the blue green deck, and the deck was obscene. And I actually lost a match, and I'm actually upset that that deck should not have lost a match.
No, it was insane.
But my wife and Morgan were able to pick me up that round, and it was really nice. And it felt like a really good team event. We were able to help each other in pretty critical situations. There was a game with my wife where she's played a lot, but she does not care about the game in the way that I care about the game. So like since we can help each other, she was in a really tight line. I had finished my match, and I'm like, yeah, okay, we're gonna attack with this. We're gonna do this. I'm like, okay. And like, it's a struggle because, like, I want to explain to her my line with her because she's asking, but, like, I can't openly talk about it because of our opponents. And, like, afterwards, she said this all day. She's kept saying, she's like, I don't know how he won that game. Like, I still don't understand what he did. It was right. We did it. I don't know how, though. And I was like, it's okay. So I'm just like, yo, totally Mr. Miyagi, all of it. It's pretty nice.
This is the first thing she said to me yesterday when I saw you guys. She was just like, yeah, I had this really, really crazy game where I just wanted to attack with everybody every single turn. And Mike was like, no, you just attack with one. I'm like, why would I just attack with one?
it was awesome. It was really sweet to, we played against some pretty good teams.
It was made mention that, like, so at this point, the team events are starting to become just like consistent teams of ringers, and I would definitely agree that's true. We had,
right? Oh yeah, most certainly.
You had,
I mean,
you had the Dan Musser team. You right. had the team we played against was insane. We had the Evan Wagstaff's team, which is a really good player from up north as well.
Yeah, like, and Ronnie Rittner's team.
Yeah,
I mean, we actually met in the
semifinals.
Yeah. Top four teams.
We lost to that team last time, Jordan.
Oh, the team.
Yeah,
was, okay.
Yeah. We, I actually always
teams we beat. Yeah, that's why you're out on those, by the way. It's always us.
I won my matches. I'm
sorry, man. You didn't get us to the finals.
Yeah.
Morgan did.
Yeah, it was weird.
No, it wasn't. You failed us last time. The matches we lost, I won my games.
Morgan's just.
You don't remember that way?
No, I don't.
So I mean.
Did you think your communication was better this time than last? Because I remember after the last one, we said we could have just talked more.
Yeah, I honestly, I didn't need to most of the time. Like, my deck was pretty much that much better than most of my opponent's decks.
Okay. Yeah.
That I didn't, and I was able to get done quickly, and I spent most of my time helping Katie.
Yeah, and then, like,
Morgan just held his own.
Most of the time, like, I was on my own, lonesome for the matches, but either I played the deck, and, like, the deck rewarded me a lot of the times, it feels like. Okay, so there was a sixth story. We got to tell the sixth story, and then we'll probably move on. So I'm playing against Dan Musser. So how you get seated is, like, A player, you know, you each have your seats and letters. So I'm playing against Dan and Dan's team, and this is like the titular game. It's either game two or game three or something like that, but it wasn't game one. So the only way that – so I forget what the board state was. Do you remember what the board state was?
Morgan had suited up a harpy, the 2-1 harpy.
Right.
Blood Toll harpy with why is it?
The Spiteful Return?
The Spiteful Return. Okay. And the plan was just to go in. And he had Sip of Hemlock and Lash the Whip in hand. And, like, so, like, he goes through, he starts attacking. Dan plays a guy after killing the flyer. Lash the Whip. Get in for more. And then plays another guy. He's like, Sip of Hemlock. Get in for more. And then, like, he plays another creature. And by this point, Morgan had drawn a Grain Merchant. So it was just like, you need to get one more attack in with this Spiteful Return.
Right.
So it's like Grain Merchant and, like, a blank in his hand, and he's just like, and it's like, well, and then it's like, well, hopefully he doesn't have the other Lash of the Whip. And
he's like, the only thing that wins right now is Lash of the Whip. Do you have it? And then, like, just draw it off the top. And I was like, this is what it's like to be like Jordan, isn't it?
It's great.
Every time, you know what?
And Morgan does the, like, look at me and then, like, just like flash to me and immediately just shuffle in his hand, like, oh, he's excited.
Yeah, it, when you syncopated me at FNM last week, I was like, yeah. Oh, this is what he feels like. I still don't feel any less salty about that situation, but at least I know how you felt.
It feels really good. And
it doesn't feel bad.
When you top deck your third Bonfire in a row to win the game, it feels insane.
Yeah, it was fairly awesome. So we did actually make it to the finals, and there was a finals draft.
Yeah,
I don't think the draft went as well as we wanted it to. Mm-hmm. It was really weird. I went like green red, but there was like another green red drafter who was sitting right next to me,
right?
And then there was a green white heroic drafter that I played against
round. Green blue.
And there was a green blue deck. So like I was in green, and like it was plentiful, but it was just like strapped
on
the sides.
Black was open, and none of us picked up on it.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the issue.
That was a huge issue.
I guess my
issue.
Question was, is the green red player to your left, did he have a better deck than you did?
Yes, or? He did.
But
Katie beat him.
Katie beat him, but yeah, he did.
Match. My wife is the only one who got a match.
Yeah.
So my wife always plays aggressive decks. You know, it's like, you're going to be surprised what I drafted. I'm like, show me. And she's like showing me this like blue-black control deck with a bunch of flyers and like 2 6 drops to finish off the deck. I'm just like, Yeah,
she did really good at the draft.
You've never been more hot than you are right now.
She boarded a Stymied Hopes for game two and just totally blew her opponent out.
Oh, both
insane.
games 2 and 3, yeah, she did that, which is really awesome.
Your fixation with that card.
I don't
it's
know.
Amazing.
Like, I drafted a pretty good Boros deck.
Right.
And just never saw, like, I had double Bolt of Karanos and a Lightning Strike and just was not drawing into any of that. And he had a Prognostic Sphinx against me, and it was just like scrying into a bounce spell like four or five consecutive turns, and it just tempoed me out. It was pretty frustrating.
Yeah, it was definitely rough, and I definitely think I wish that I had just gone black red, but
yeah, so
it was very hard to pass up on the green.
All of us at the table made a mistake. Like somebody should have been like there were two, maybe three. I'm trying to remember of the Gorgons that have monstrous killer creatures.
Yeah,
just,
man.
Just, like, going around.
Yeah, it was really rough.
Like, yeah, but it was, like, weird. Oh, man, it was tough.
Yeah, and there's, like, multiple gray merchants, so, like, I knew that the draft had gone bad since black was so open.
Yeah, we were all fighting over something that was, like, thin. It was frustrating.
Yeah, yeah, it was definitely rough, but, I mean, it was awesome to get second place at...
if you ever get to play that format.
Oh, yeah, it's intensely so fun. And I know that Star City Games sometimes does it as well, so if it's ever in your area, like, oh, man.
Go do
just,
it.
I think the part is, like, when... you're 1-1, and you're all standing behind the one guy.
Yeah, like both teams are like...
And then the one guy draws the nut card, and you just all flip out.
Yeah. there were multiple instances where I was that one guy, and I was like, fuck. Why me? I don't like the pressure. But apparently, it was pretty clutch. So yeah. Let's go ahead, and we'll move on, and we'll move into Born in... Oh, no, jeez. Journey to Nyx.
Not again.
Journey to Nyx. No. We'll move into Journey to Nyx. Spoilers actually started this week, which I was surprised by. I guess I didn't follow it well. I was like, oh, it'll be in a couple weeks. No big deal, but... obviously, it can't be because the set would be already in pre-release at that point in time. So it has to be this week. So we got usually the big sort of rush of new cards. Only what, one mythic at this time spoiled though.
Yeah, just the Aroas.
The God of Victory. And he's fairly interesting. Two in a red, so not like the more expensive side of where we've seen some of the multicolor gods at five. So cost 4, 7/4, indestructible, yada yada. You know about the devotion stuff. He's still, devotion is 7. So his two, he actually has two abilities, though. So creatures you control can't be blocked except by two or more creatures. And then prevent all damage that would be dealt to attacking creatures you control. So those are two fairly significant effects, especially for aggressive decks. So I definitely can see something, maybe like a revisit to like the red-white weedy decks we saw earlier in Standard, or even something like what you were playing, where it's a more of a Boros mid-range list.
I think the two cards I really think benefit from this god, I've had probably a couple people already like have mentioned, like it doesn't do anything against control, which to an extent is true, but it does make Elspeth tokens a lot worse. And you also can't something like Aetherling can't just eat guys anymore in that stage. So like you continue to be aggressive, but I think two cards really benefit from this. If you're playing base white, Bramaz benefits from this guy intensely because and the token just don't die, and you can attack freely and get value.
Yeah, I think I like that.
And I said Fanatic Amogus on if you go base red. Because the worst thing about Fanatic Amogus is while its effect is amazing, you're paying 4 mana for a creature that trades with 1 drops. So if it can't die in combat anymore and it's hard to block, then you get a lot more value out of that creature. And of course, we talk about Hammer of Purphoros also.
Yeah, how good does Boros Reckoner get too?
Boros Reckoner is kind of awkward.
Because it prevents all damage dealt to it in combat.
Oh, I guess
so. You don't get any triggers, which is awkward.
Right.
It's really good at turning Iros on, which is insane because you can actually go like... You can go like Ash Zealot, Boros Reckoner, Iros is a 7/4.
Attack
you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so that's pretty good.
Well, even like there's even like curves where instead of like Boros Reckoner, you have
Hammer.
Hammer.
So it's like Fire Drinker Satyr, Ash Zealot, Hammer, Iros, attack for 7.
Oh god.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I got the wiggly jiggly.
I got the leaf bumps over here.
So obviously that's Christmas,
it's
magical Christmas
my pants
land.
Getting tighter.
Because you're getting fat.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Rude.
My pants don't get tighter from what I was referencing.
So we have the god, but we actually have some new mechanics, so we want to definitely talk about those.
No, we don't.
Listen, these might be relevant, and they're not as bad as the Boros Reckoner
mechanics.
Yeah,
they're,
let's be fair.
They're like 100% better.
Right.
Like,
so the first one is Constellation. Basically, what you can think of this as is Landfall for enchantments. Right?
Pretty much.
So one of the cards that has this is Whitewater Naiads. So it's... three and two blue for a 4/4 enchantment creature nymph, and it says Constellation. Whenever Whitewater Naiads or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, target creature can't block this turn. Now, the rare with this one is actually a little bit more interesting. It's the Eidolon of Blossoms, so it's two green for a 2/2. Obviously, enchantment creature. And its Constellation is whenever this creature or an enchantment enters the battlefield, draw a card. So
I think the big thing about these consolation cards that is going to make them, I don't know about like constructed playable,
mm-hmm.
but
at the very least,
trigger themselves.
Yes.
And they all so far have triggered themselves, and that's really important.
It is super important.
Paying four for a 2/2, like think about Fathom Mage. People thought the Fathom Mage might see play, which was the Simic, one of the Simic promos.
Right.
Which whenever it evolved, essentially, when it got plus one, you got to draw a card. And like it had a powerful effect, but because it couldn't do anything with itself, like this one, no matter what you're essentially getting a Solemn Simulacrum out of it, like you draw a card for your 2/2 and hopefully get value.
Right.
So I'm not saying it is constructed playable. I'm just saying
this will
change makes it.
It'll be a little bit of a push in the right direction, right. Basically.
You know what we're going to have to do?
What?
Wait until all the flipping spoilers are out before we talk about them.
We're talking about the abilities, man. Jeez.
Yeah.
The playability of the card.
We're just touching on these things.
I'm good.
So.
I was a third out. Owner.
So, okay, let's talk about Strive.
Go to your room. No!
your face was kind of serious, though.
Yeah, okay, so
Strive. Yeah. So, Strive. Strive is actually pretty interesting. So, Strive basically reads, and this card is called a Johnny's Presence. It's one white, and it says Strive. A Johnny's Presence costs 2 and a white more to cast for each target beyond the first.
So, a multiple kicker,
it feels kind of.
Right.
Well, it's almost like I think it's closer to replicate than it is for kicker.
Sure, sure, sure.
But the only difference is that instead of replicate, it's actual copies of the spell.
Yes.
Where this is just making this a bigger spell.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. You actually get more blown out by counter spells this way.
Definitely.
Yes. With this spell, certainly. You pay 4 to put, you know, and they're like, oh, I'll just counter you, and then you just time walk yourself.
This is something you would have to see, you know, the more. But I will say limited, like a card like this, like. This works really well with heroic.
If you're heroic, 100%.
Boom.
Now the also interesting thing about this is how it works with like things like Cascade, because when you is it does, doesn't it work interestingly with Cascade?
Cascade's a triggered ability just for the card.
No, you cast it off Cascade. So I don't know if you can pay Strive or not. Off
right, well, that is the question. It's Cascade, not an alternate right? cost. So. Though.
It's not an alternate cost. It costs more.
Right.
It's an addition to the casting cost.
Right.
I honestly don't know. I guess we will have to look that one up, confused listeners. But
well, yeah, because like we obviously don't have the IPG, the rules update for this.
Right.
We just have like the introduction of the mechanics. But I mean, like this could get fairly interesting with things like Cascade, because you get to play the spell for free. So.
I mean, spells like this are always interesting because they just... Yeah, and again, we'll see what they do with it, but they... Anytime you are able to put more mana into it, it makes any of the cards that have the mechanic much more useful.
Right.
Like that, this card is a one drop spell, like right? So it's right. good on it's good early in the game.
And it's good
and
late.
When you have 7 mana and 3 guys in play, well, it's pretty good then too.
Right. So. Also, it actually gives any number of target creatures +1/+1, and they gain indestructible till end of turn. Yeah. That's actually what the spell does. Anyway, so that's Strive. Could be interesting. I definitely think it's going to be like a really good. I feel it's going to be really good in Limited. Who knows if it'll break into Constructed? Right. But Limited, obviously, Heroic's already there. Bestow comes back now. With Bestow, we definitely want to talk about something that one of the cards that did get spoiled called Gnarled Scarhide. It's one black,
mm-hmm.
Enchantment creature Minotaur. So it's a one drop Minotaur. So all you people wanting to push that Minotaur Constructed deck, there you go. And it has a Bestow of 3 and a black. And it's just a 2/1 that can't block, and you can give target creature, enchanted creature, 2/1 and can't block. Well, this is interesting because it's another one drop aggressive black creature that, you know, will slot into the already existing mono black aggro deck.
Right.
And, you know, usually with like white, you know, weenie aggro decks, you want like at least 8, if not 12. One right. drops. So with this is your 12.
This is your 12th, yep.
Yeah, this is your third one drop, besides like Thoughtseize, which is what they're kind of running right now. But you right. know, hey, Basoka is coming back. It's kind of the overall mechanic that's just always going to be there.
Monstrous comes back too.
Monstrous Yay, comes back so as well. Much better than... So does Heroic and Scry. Right. So those of you guys already know.
Monstrous is so much better than Tribute. Like,
oh yeah, gosh. I think everyone's kind of excited for, you know, Monstrous to kind of come back. But yeah, the two new ones that we're kind of seeing are the Strive mechanic, as well as Constellation. So, you know, that's really all we're gonna talk about. Did you want to talk about another card or anything like that?
No, I think in this case we will heed the Jordan here and say that we want to see the mechanics are interesting.
Yeah.
And I think you know, this can sort of, you know, you can already start looking at how, what I like doing is looking at how certain cards interact with new mechanics from the past sets. So, like, talking about limited. So, like, Constellation works really, really well with the cycle of inspired creatures.
Oh, yeah.
That untap and make enchantment creature tokens.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean? Like, ooh, like, so, like, spicy. So, like, if you look at the draft format, like, the one thing, even when mechanics aren't always constructed playable, the one thing that I always appreciate that Wizards does is that they make these blocks always flow really well together in limited.
Oh, yeah, most certainly, most certainly. So it's definitely kind of interesting to see. I'm glad spoiler season's already gone. And we'll go ahead and we'll actually move on and we'll talk about the game. So first, let's go ahead and we'll take a look at the SCG Standard Open.
Okay, so this really crazy list won the stage.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it, right?
They played all Swamps.
What?
Four Mutavaults.
Yeah?
And then Black cards.
Oh, man. That sounds weird.
Did it have Thoughtseize?
It did. It had a Thoughtseize. Played Erebos, Underworld Connections of Draw Cards.
Did it have Data, Desecration Demon?
Sometimes. And then there was also, okay, you know that uncommon that's like barely draftable, Grey Merchant of Asphodel? That's a win condition.
Actually, that's a common, bro.
Oh, is it? See, it's even worse. This idiot just plays that card and kills his opponents.
If you if you guys haven't caught on, Mono Black Devotion won the Open.
I was really happy to make that joke.
Piloted by Kevin Huang. Good job. Congratulations.
Great Open. Moving on.
He actually he won against Adrian Sullivan, so obviously a relatively known name within the Magic community, playing Blue-White Control. So it's kind of interesting to see that list show up again. He had definitely a different take on it. He played things like a One of Disperse and Cyclonic Rift in his board. I mean, excuse me, not his board, in his main deck. Yeah, so that's pretty interesting. Also played Azorius Key Rune, so he was having a little Blue-White Artifact Flyer come in and try to kill people.
No, I'm sorry.
Just one Azorius Key Rune. Yeah,
He has Azorius Charms, which is interesting.
Yeah, he only has two
and
Charms.
Only one Elspeth.
Only one Elspeth, but he has an Aetherlink, so that's kind of his other plan.
And the Elixir, though. Like, I don't know, this is an interesting list.
It is an interesting list. It was all upside down, so he's a monster. He's definitely an enemy of the game.
I mean, he's got some, like, his sideboard Debtor's Pulpit is interesting.
Yeah. We know that Riley Curran was a huge proponent of Debtor's Pulpit in his junk list, just because, like, taps down Aetherling, they can
also
tap.
Also taps down a Stormbred Dragon, because your land has the ability.
Your land has the ability. So, yeah, I mean, it's a card. It's definitely expensive, but, I mean, it's also one way to answer a Blood Baron, too, so.
Blood Baron, obviously. It answers all these things.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's a little bit more awkward. They don't attack with
still,
it.
You still answer, I guess. Yeah. The one thing I will say, I think if I was going to start playing these blue-white lists more, if I was on the Aetherling plan, right, I think I'm just going to start, like, I would just start boarding at least one Rest in Peace. Like, it's like that's the mirror breaker, right? Where it's just like, oh, you're on the Elixir plan?
Yeah.
Cool.
And also, like, you, I guess, like, it doesn't really matter. I'm sure, like, green-black dredge is probably just a fine matchup for you anyway. But, yeah. I mean, like, it's something to just be like, I just murder you. Like, you're just gone. You,
like, just
you can't play
for
game.
Them a little bit.
Right, yeah, like, you just
so
can't
many,
play this game
so
anymore.
So many decks in the format that are running, like, or Elixir as, like, they're, the way, just like, if you have the Miser's Rest in Peace, where you're just like, oh, man, that's cool. So,
right.
How many, okay, cool, well, your Elixir's dead.
Right.
So that's exciting.
I mean, also, like, it does weird things, like in the monsters list, sometimes where they have just, like, late-game scavenging uses, which can become big threats if you don't have anything. Like, that's just, you know, now nothing.
I don't know if I'm boarding against them.
I know. I'm just trying to point out all the angles
maybe
here.
Maybe if I had Snapcaster Mages in my deck.
Oh, wait. How does that make any sense?
Because they could eat your targets with your Snapcaster Mage.
Why would you
play Rest in Peace since it exiles all the targets?
Listen, it wasn't a completely sound joke.
Get out.
You guys are all best buddies now because you went to some trio tournament?
The get out has been called. The top eight is pretty much things you've seen. Nia Hexproof top eight as well.
Hey,
listed as
Nia
Aggro.
The dredge deck was in 12th, though. That dredge deck, bro.
Yeah. Green Black Dredge.
Rest in Peace now.
That's the thing. Standard. Right. I'm just glad new set's coming out.
Look at the other major standard event. GP Phoenix that was won by...
GP Phoenix was also won by this really cool deck that all Swamps, Mutavaults, and Thoughtseize, and then that Grey Merchant card. Do you think they built the same list together?
I think they talked about it.
Across the country.
Yeah, again, this event was taken down by Mono Black Aggro.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. We have Mono Blue Devotion. Robert Burney was the name of the GP winner, so congratulations to Robert Burney. Nothing to see here. His list is pretty stock. He has the Whippa Bear Roast main, which some do and some don't. That's pretty much the most spicy thing.
We also have like 3 or 4 copies of Mono Blue or Blue White within
and
the top
and then we have
16.
Like a couple of Jun Monsters in top 8, right? Just a couple or just one.
So, like, if you watched Standard, like, 4 months ago, you could probably just guess the results of this open.
Yes, accurate. Eric Froelich does show up again, and he, you know, also top 8-ed or top 16 GP Cincinnati as well. So,
Top 16.
Yeah, I thought it was top 16. So, I mean, he's still playing his Black Splash Red devotion list, literally only splashing for 3 Rakdos Return in the sideboard, and that is it. And that's fine. You know, I like Rakdos Return. I think Rakdos Return is a great card. I really like his list. If I was going to play against a black based list, I would probably, you know, probably play Eric Froelich's list. So good to see him, you know, doing really well with it.
We have Band Control.
Oh yeah, we do have Band Control. That was the other spicy thing, and they're pretty much just splashing for Kiora.
Kiora and
oh yeah, and scavenging his Voice of Resurgence in the sideboard as well. So, interesting. I mean, it's awkward to play Sylvan Caryatid in a you know Supreme Verdict deck, but whatever, you know, do you, Daniel Ward. So obviously, Standard's in sort of a weird place. It's sort of solved? Would we be safe to calling it solved at this point in time?
So here's the like, normally when a format is solved, there's like a definitive, like, no argument best deck in the format.
Yeah.
That's how we normally establish something as being solved. Like when you had Callblade was the best deck, format was solved.
Right.
When you
even Delver, things like Delver
was the best deck. Some variant of it, every week is the best deck. Format was pretty much solved, right? This, yeah, we know that which decks are good.
Yeah, I think we just have a bunch of best decks. And I guess I can't say really say it's solved, but I mean, like, you're probably playing one of these decks by this point in time.
That's probably true.
So, Standard's not very exciting. Hopefully, you know, Journey and Nyx will shake it up. But if not, then I don't see why you're not playing something with Sphinx's Rev or something with Thoughtseize. Like, obviously, like, those are just kind of the two most powerful cards. Or Stormbreath Dragon. I think that's good enough. So let's actually take a look at Legacy, oddly enough. I mean, I know it's not something we always talk about, but, you know, Jordan has actually been getting a lot more invested in Legacy. And, like, an Ohio native obviously won it. Good old Eric Rill.
Did you see his picture on Twitter today?
Uh-uh.
Okay, yes. First off, if you don't follow Eric Rill, you should, because his
Eric Relentless. Relentless.
He actually has a picture of his face photoshopped onto a Garrick Relentless.
It's awesome.
And it's one of the best Magic puns on Twitter. But also, he took a picture of his 4 open trophies together. And I'm just like, oh, I feel inadequate now.
Now, the reason that we bring this up is because he had a very interesting 4-color Delver list.
Oh, it's so sweet.
It is actually really, really awesome.
It's the deck I think Mike would play if he, like, cared about Legacy.
I think I would.
So, and that is actually going to be the focus of the deck check this week.
I really think we should have done deck delving with Dave Nolan.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good alliteration.
I still want to have our awesome, like, sound indicators, like, deck check, check, check.
Well,
check.
We'd have to record that, and I'd have to
edit it. Deck check.
it's like really bad, like, 90s hip-hop music in the background.
So, Jordan, you kind of were pointing this out. You actually watched, you know, Eric pilot this list in the top 8.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to check out the list, we won't recite it here on the podcast. We will talk about specific cards, but the entire list, obviously, is in the, you know, the deck list on StarCityGames.com.
And it's linked in the show notes.
And it's also going to be linked in the show notes, so check it out while we're talking about it. So this list is obviously awesome. He's playing Edric, Spymaster of Trest. That's
Which,
hilarious.
If you don't know what that card does, it's okay, because literally no one does.
I know what it does. It gives all your creatures the
draw card.
Yeah.
Like, essentially,
they all become Thieving Magpie.
Thieving Magpie. Right. That's what I started to think of the card.
So the thing is normally what we say, but I say Thieving Magpie.
Most Delver lists, right, are playing Tarmogoyf if you're playing green, right? You're 100% playing Tarmogoyf. Eric Grill says no thank you, and instead plays Young Peasy. The Young Pyromancer.
Young Pyromancer, of course.
Which, if you haven't been following Mike's deck.
Yeah, if you don't know Mike, then I don't know how. I can see why you wouldn't know what a Young Pyromancer does.
You don't know what show you're listening to, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Young Pyromancer nets you a 1/1 red elemental token whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell.
Yeah, it turns out it's really great with all your free spells that you have.
I mean, which Taxing Probe was pretty insane.
Yeah, there were moments where he would just, like, have 2 Young Pyromancers and be like, G-probe you, and they'd be like, yeah, whatever, you get 2 dudes, and he's like, all right, cantrip. It's Axiom Probe you. And then,
this seems fair.
Edric, is that good? Attack you for 4. I'll draw 4 cards in the strongest format playable.
Seems fine. nothing broken about this.
The cool thing that I liked a lot about the list is the two surgical extractions came in almost every matchup. And then he used them so aggressively. There were times where I was watching his finals match in particular where I thought, okay.
Like his finals was against what, Sneak and Show?
Sneak and Show. He played in the semifinals and the finals.
Okay.
And
real powerful. Let's get your ancient tombs right now.
Right. Generally, you think you should counter, like, you counter a sneak attack and then you, like, surgical it. He was just, like, surgicaling value things, like ponders or brainstorms. And yeah. Just, like, shutting down their deck.
I mean, I guess it makes sense if you can't dig for what you need to play, then how are you going to play the game that I'm trying to play?
It was really cute to see him stifle a Grizzlebrand activation. His opponent was like, yeah, neg 7, and put his hand on top of his deck, and Eric's just like, sir, I have an effect.
That's on the stack, all right?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just a really cool value list of just tons of really cool cards. I mean, Cabal Therapies put in a lot of work against those decks, obviously.
I will say this thing. Like, this is a terrifying mana base to me. Like, so he only actually has... 7 actual lands. So he has 7 fetches, mm-hmm. 7 duels, and then 4 wastelands. Like, he's leaning very heavily on Deathrite Shaman here. Like, there's a Marsh Casualties in the board, and I'm like, you have 2 Underground Seas. Yeah. Like, that's your only black source.
Yeah, he was fetching very aggressively. Cedric Phelps made the comment that his mana base is actually worse than his Sneak and Show opponents.
Yeah, I mean,
those mana bases are usually terrible. So yeah. He had, like, 1 red source. But
I mean, this is a deck where you would have to work really, really diligently on like how to sequence and what land to search for at the right time.
Yeah, it's not as easy as some other of the Delver lists that people Delver, like even Bug Delver.
Are ultra important here because if you lock yourself poorly on a brainstorm, I guess I will mention brainstorm lock. It means that you've brainstormed, but you don't have a fetch land, so you're stuck.
You don't have any way to clear top cards.
Deck, so you've locked yourself into what you're drawing, which sometimes is fine. Like sometimes you do it on purpose because you know what you're going to draw. You just want to get a card down. But normally, if you're doing that, you're desperate. So
yeah,
yeah. I mean, like if you look at his creatures that he's casting, right? Tropical Island goes a long way.
No, for sure.
Brainstorm D's the ice part of Fire and Ice, Force of Will. If he ever gets the casting part, of that Stifle, G Pro Ponder. Like Tropical Island goes along
casting force of will in this deck so,
with a 7 real lands.
Man, what a great well,
like you just keep the extra lands in hand for brainstorms anyways.
So. Right. So yeah, I mean like you're going for a Tropical Island really early, and then a Volko is probably like your next bet.
I'm gonna be very honest. I think the next time we see Eric and I think it actually maybe this weekend. I'm going to say right now, I'm going to try and see if he will do a deck check we're doing this deck check, our deck check here, but I want to see him talk about it a little bit because I think there's some interesting decisions here.
He did a Star City deck tech, actually. So.
Oh, awesome.
Well, I don't care. I want to do it with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just letting you know that it's there if you'd like
He's a friend of the show,
yeah,
maybe.
I don't care.
I've met him twice, yeah.
Eric's fine.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I like that list a lot. I know we usually don't talk about Legacy on here. So if you don't care about Legacy at all,
it's like a sweet though.
Yeah,
it's very very interesting. I mean,
it's not terribly expensive either as far as Legacy decks goes.
Surprisingly, I mean, like, first of all, it's not expensive. I think you could probably stack this against other
cheaper than blue white red.
Not having Tarmogoyf in your deck makes it a lot cheaper.
That's for sure.
And you're not playing Bobs,
having Bob. Oof,
So you're actually like cutting two of the more expensive cards. Right. Granted, you still have to buy your Stifles.
All your creatures are actually really cheap.
Yeah. Every single creature is like sub $10.
Edric's up to $10. Yeah. Deathrite Shaman was like $10. Everything else is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have to buy Underground Seas, but.
Yeah, sorry about that, bro.
And
Volcanic Islands. And Volcano. Both $300.
And 4 Wastelands.
Yeah,
no, but you know,
Legacy's still expensive. We're not saying
and 4 Scalding Tarns.
We're not saying that you could just like go sell your standard deck and go get a Legacy one, but
you know,
you could sell your car,
a kidney maybe. I don't
Fun
know.
Fun story: Riley Curran was. I was flipping through his trade binder. I was like, man, you could buy my car with this. He goes, yeah. Whenever you think about that, just think, at least you have a car. It was like, oh, fair enough. I'll take the car.
Riley Curran, notable Magic degenerate and friend of the show.
And bike enthusiast.
Bike enthusiast.
Goes, I could move out if I sold my cards, but then I'd have to sell my cards.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't want that. We want Riley to keep playing Legacy. Exactly. We enjoy that. I definitely think that this is a beast that can only be piloted by Eric Rolo. Like it's a dangerous list. It is definitely a dangerous list. I don't think that anyone else will be brave enough to try to pilot this. I don't think this is going to be like the new hot thing, but it's certainly interesting. It's nice and refreshing to see something a little bit new
in
Legacy.
The Edric text been going around on Twitter. There's been, I'm trying to remember the name of the Twitter, the guy on Twitter, but he's been essentially like 4-0-ing and 3-1-ing like daily events with his, he's playing Edric with like some swords and he's base white. So he's got like Swords of Plowshare as well. But like, it is cool to see some of these cards, you know, like that's nice to see. Like when we're like, well, mono black one standard again, but they're like, but Edric Spymaster of Trest is a legacy.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that does make me perk up a little bit.
Yeah. It was funny because on his top 8 profile, he asked everybody, what was the most ridiculous card that you saw cast today? And he's just like, oh yeah, I cast the most ridiculous card. Edric Spymaster of Trest.
Yeah, it was me and I did it.
And I'm in top 8. Oh, and one.
Yeah, so again, congratulations to Eric Rill. It's nice to see someone, you know, from the Ohio area, you know, kind of take it down. So, yeah.
I mean, really, clean it up.
He's playing well right now.
Well, I mean, he's got a queue for the Pro Tour as well. Like,
he's sixth now in the Star City Open points. As of Wednesday, he will be.
Yeah,
I mean, he's quite a tear. And like, if you ever watch him play, like if you ever talk to him, he's kind of a spacey guy where he's just like, oh yeah, it's cool.
I feel like he's the notable hippie of the Star City Games scene. Yeah.
He's a guy who's known for was known before he started playing really well. Was known for wearing the, I call them Cosby sweaters, but he would find the craziest thing you could
wear.
I feel like he's
not past wearing a poncho. I feel like I've seen him in a poncho.
He wore like the cat sweater.
Yeah, he wore the cats with like the glasses on. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's obviously
so, like,
sweet.
But then, like, once you start, like, when you see him play and he's just locked in, like, yeah. I played against him at the PTQ in December, mm-hmm. and I was, you know, that's why I was still sitting undefeated and just got soundly, like, I mean, outdrawn, outplayed, and it was just like, well, that sucked.
Yeah. No, it's interesting you said that because he was playing Tez Storm mm-hmm. on camera a couple weeks ago. Like, he's tearing up the Star City Circuit right now. Yeah. But, The few times I've talked to him, he's always been goofy. He's always been funny. Mm-hmm. But then he was watching him play, and he was sitting there trying to figure out the math if he could combo off. And it was just competitor's look on his face, and he can just change in an instant.
Yeah,
and
it's
really cool.
Yeah,
it's great. And that was the most exciting list, obviously, to show. Oh, wait, Manila's Dredge was back again.
Nah, no one cares.
Oh, yeah,
that's fine. Aww. I'll play against that deck all day.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like,
no one cares.
It's really weird
this
because.
Is also the guy that got excited about the Zoras key rune.
Someone's got to be excited about this, all right? Someone's got to be the hype man.
Whoa, like, did you see who's tearing up the open? Like, he's got key runes in his list. Man,
oh,
Standard's so open right now, which
you know,
it is, but...
You know what he'd rather do than Divination? Play a two-mana, a 2-1 do-nothing.
It's a 3-drop.
That turns into a 2-2.
Yeah, it's a Divination. It's a 2-1, right?
No. What are you talking about?
2-2? It's always gear and turns into a 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2.
Yeah,
so rather than Divination, he's playing this 3-mana do-nothing.
Right.
Well, he has got 2 Divinations, too.
Yeah, so yeah, he's actually...
he's just fine. It's all right.
Yeah.
If you have a Divination in your hand, it's always here.
Also,
get out.
Also, Dead Guy Ale showed up again, which is a very like pretty classical Legacy list that comes and goes. But it's the Dega list. Or is it just no? It's just black white. Yeah, just black white. No red.
Okay.
But yeah, that's pretty interesting. Also has a little bit of splash green for Deathrite Shaman. Because duh.
Who does?
Right, exactly. At this point in time, like, if you're not playing that card and you're not trying to cheat in Grizzle Brands and Emrakul, then what are you doing? So, yeah, that was pretty awesome to see. Maybe we'll try to dive more into Legacy here in the future, but let's go ahead and we will move into our question of the week. So, this happened actually over, you know, kind of this conversation happened on Twitter between Brian Kibler and Michael Jacobs, and it was inspired by sort of the lackluster standard results, you know. So, Michael Jacobs said that basically his argument that Born of the Gods being a very weak set and not doing very much to kind of change standard has led us to where we are, where we have the same decks that we had, you know, pretty much before Born of the Gods. And Brian Kibble actually tweeted back, and he says, no, it's not that. It's actually because we have things like Thoughtseize. We have Thoughtseize specifically in Thoughtseize Immutable in the format, and that's why things haven't changed, because those cards are so oppressive and so powerful that there's just nothing that can actually be done to, you know, shake those cards, and that's why the decks that play things like Thoughtseize and Immutable are still on the top. So, you know, we all thought that this was definitely an interesting... topic to discuss. So what do you guys kind of think about this? Is it really just those two cards that are so overly oppressive that things can't change? Or is it Board of the Gods being, you know, lackluster? Obviously, we've ragged a lot on Board of the Gods. But so what do you guys think?
I think it's unfair to say one or the other is the sole reason, I guess. And that's a really, like, VMD way to approach it, but, like, both Thoughtseize and Mutavault are insanely powered cards from the main block of the set, from the main set of the block, excuse me. And Born of the Gods kind of sucked. In terms of, like, the best card was Temple of Enlightenment, as Dave would say. So when that happens, and then you have cards as powerful as two cards that see play in Eternal formats, or in non-rotating formats, because Mutavault doesn't make it to Legacy.
It does. I mean, Merfolk is a deck in Legacy.
Oh, I guess, yeah, Merfolk.
Yeah, I mean, it's there.
So I guess it's both. Like, I think it's okay to have powerful cards in Standard like that, but at the same time, you're going to have to print other ones that at least hard counter them a little bit, even if they suck everywhere else. I don't know. It's a weird situation that we build ourselves into, but I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I would agree. I guess you could attribute to both. Like, Born of the Gods is really weak, and it didn't. There's enough decks in, like, old stand. Like, the deck that I've been running the last few weeks is the big Boros deck again. Is only trying to think if has any Born of the Gods made it to the main deck. I think the only Born of the Gods I'm running currently right now is Revoke Existence and Faded Conflagration, or Conflagration. I should say.
And those are your sideboard.
Yeah. Those are in the sideboard, and that's three cards total. So I mean, I've been tearing things up, you know, at least on the small scale. And then you saw, like, there were four or five mono blues and GP Phoenix, like that card. I mean, if you're maybe a Thassa's Rebuff every now and then, but
no, there's zero cards of Born of the Gods in that deck. Unless they're the blue white.
But I'm actually going to take this a different direction, where I do think it is Mutavault. I'm not totally sure. Because, like, I think if you still had the mana bases we had last format, where you had pretty much the greatest standard mana bases we've seen in a long time, I don't think Mutavault would be as ubiquitous, because the mana would be so much better that you could still play all the powerful cards that you want, right? The problem is the mana bases are so weak that is inherently making Mutavault a much more appealing option. Like, I can play a struggling mana base, or I can play Mutavaults. And this goes into my further point that the Thoughtseize leads to a deck building consistency that is necessary to sustain the format. What I mean by that is you can't play a bunch of, like, two ofs or spicy one ofs that you want to test out, you want to try out in a format with Thoughtseize, because you can have it in your opener, and once it's gone, it's gone. You need your deck to be consistent, doing as much as possible. Look at the best decks of the format, and I mean in every single type of deck. The aggro decks are all playing, and they normally would, but the aggro decks are 4-4-4-4-4-4-4. The mid-range decks, look at Jund Monsters, okay? 4-4-4-4-4. Yeah. Like, you think you have maybe a couple, like, one or two of Planeswalkers, but, like, your heavy-hitting creatures, it's a 4-of of every one. Your best Planeswalker, it's a 4-of of every one. And then if you look at the control decks, look at how good blue-white was. Blue-white is literally, like, 4-4-4-4, except for, like, your Elixir or your Aetherling. Like, everything else is just, like, build the most consistent deck as possible, because consistency is how you beat, like, and I say beat, but that's how you beat Thoughtseize, is whereas, okay, if you took this, it's not that crippling, because I have built the deck to draw another one. I have built the deck to have multiple copies of it. And Thoughtseize is what really, I think, was what really hurts deck building, is because you can't run these, and I won't say wacky lists, because, like, those aren't the kind of lists that rise to the top anyways, but it's hard to, like, even in testing, like, you can't do a lot of live testing, because, like I think this card's going to be good. Well, you really can't run a singleton of it, especially if you're like, oh, I think this card's good against mono black, right? Like, well, you better run enough of them that you don't just get a Thoughtseize and you never get to test it.
Right.
So I think it is more Thoughtseize. Like, Born of the Gods could have been an amazing, like, super powerful set, but I mean, look at all the RGR cards that aren't seeing play. You know what I mean? And that's a mana-based issue.
Yeah.
But, I mean, super powerful cards. Like, look at Angel Serenity.
Oh, I miscast.
I mean, I love Angel Serenity, and I had it as a one of in that blue-white deck, which is fine when you draw it, but, like, when you have your 7-drop that's powerful, just ripped out of there. Like, well, I hope I get to turn 7.
Yeah.
Because I can get Thoughtseize any turn of the game, and they trade one mana for my, you know, the spell that will turn the game around, and it costs them nothing, but it destroys my entire game plan for, you know, like, my whole line is, I need to cast this spell, and they're just like, oh, well, I drew my Thoughtseize for the turn. Let's just fire it off and see what I get. Oh, I didn't even know you were about to beat me, right? So you have this, I don't know, I do think it's Thoughtseize, and I know he's been very outspoken against having Thoughtseize back in the format, and I struggle with, you have to reprint them somewhere. You can't just reprint all the staples in ancillary product, okay? Because, like, Thoughtseize went from a $70 card to, like, a $15, probably we'll settle back up in the $20 to $30 range once it's, you know, once it's done out of here, and I think that's fine. But I, at this point, I am wishing that it was, you know, Mutavault's a core set card. It's done in the summer. We don't have to live with it again. But we have to live a thought seize through an entire another block.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Which I think to me is going to damper how fun the, another block would be, because it's just like, oh, look at all these cool new cards. Still going to get thought seized.
Still, oh, they're not land? Oh, I could still take those out of your hand. And, no big deal.
And I think it's important to note that, like, there's just like, it's just like the, it's like the casual player mentality, like the same people who are like, oh, you're playing counter spells. That's not fun. And to an extent, I understand that mentality. People want to play their cards, right? But Thoughtseize, like, Thoughtseize is good. It pretty much, you know, when you're playing a regular game, like, it's a bad top deck late in the game, sure.
Yeah.
But, like, early in the game, it's always good. Whereas, like, counter magic, you can play around. You can't really play around Thoughtseize. Right?
No.
Like, you got to just cast your spells, right? Whereas, like, you can make very strategic decisions on, like, you have left open mana. I already have pressure on the board. I don't need to cast this spell, and therefore make the counter spells lose value. And that's how you play a skillful match. Whereas Thoughtseize, it's that as long as your opponent has cards in their hand that might be a threat to you, you just cast Thoughtseize. So it's frustrating on that end. So yes, Born of the Gods being a weak set has something to do with it. Like, it didn't enable a lot of new archetypes. Though I will say the monsters list, you know, have at least existed in some part thanks to Corsair has been a huge reason for that deck's existence. So, you know, in most small middle block sets, like, look at Dark Ascension, right? Now, Dark Ascension was not a great set, but I wouldn't call it a weak set by any, you know, like, they're powerful cards. But think about the strategy. Like, you had Huntmaster, you had Lingering Souls, you had Sorin.
Yeah.
What other cards enabled archetypes?
I mean, not till probably post-Scar's rotation. But you eventually had things like
Falconwrath,
Aristocrat. Yeah,
you had that.
Olivia, right?
Olivia was Innistrad.
Yeah, and
that's cards will have, but that's just a small set. Where
Strangleroogeist as well.
Yeah, Strangleroogeist. But sure. What I'm saying is, like, we're gonna struggle to probably get over 10 cards that I think really affected a format, and we're at that with Born of the Gods. We really are. I mean, you have
not wrong.
Which has not had its day in the sun yet. That card's going to get better.
What?
Bramaz.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
of course, which is already good. You have Kiora. Like, you have the gods, which a number of them have already proven themselves to be very, very effective. Yeah. Like, it's just one of those sets where it's like, if you look at a lot of other middle sets, I don't think it's actually as bad as you think. I think one of the other problems is we got super, and I guess I'm ranting a long time here now, so I apologize.
Oh, it's fine.
But we also got super, like, sets post Ravnica block. Like, Ravnica, because of multicolored spells inherently are so much more powerful, and the guilds are done so well, that you have just these powerful cards sitting here that you can't cast, so the format seems a lot smaller. When honestly, I mean, think of the cards that aren't seeing play right now. I guess Angel Serenity is not. Prime Seeker's Agana is not seeing play. Aurelia is not seeing play. These, I mean, game-warping powerful spells that, one, probably aren't seeing play and thanks to Thoughtseize, but also because the mana is so much worse. It's just so much harder to cast, you know, something with four-colored mana spells in its casting costs right now. So the format, I think, just feels a lot smaller based on that. And again, Thoughtseize is really just oppressive.
Yeah, I definitely think that Mutavault kind of has a huge play in it, because I think Mutavault is just, like, silently, maybe not so silently, but silently just, like, one of the best cards that you could be playing in Standard right now.
Oh, no, I mean, I totally agree with that.
And it allows you to just main lands in general, just allow you to do so many more things, and, like, you want to be able to play those cards, whether it be a 4-of or whether it be, like, a 2-of or, you know, sometimes even a 1-of. Like, you want to at least have access to the card in some way, and that warps mana bases a lot more, and us already having such poor mana bases, like, you, like Mike said, I mean, he pretty much summed it up at a pretty good point, but, like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you did a pretty good job with your rant, but yeah, I definitely don't think it's War of the Gods. Like, War of the Gods is like not like a fantastic set, but it's not like the worst set ever by any stretch of the means. It is a pretty average middle set, and I don't think I just think that it's Thoughtseize and Mutavault that really constrict the format and really make it so that we don't have, you know, diverse decks that make it so that Mono Black is just one of the best decks that you could be playing right now, because it plays both those cards and sometimes it just doesn't care. And it most importantly, I think even cards like Lifebane Zombie are kind of important as well, because those constrict things like any green white deck, so all the powerful green white cards, you know, on top of Thoughtseize. Yeah, like Vermaz, Angel Serenity, on top of Thoughtseize, restrict that. So when you cut out like two colors from being like really prominent in things they like to do, like cast creatures, like that hurts the format a lot as well. So I think that, you know, even just past Mutavault and Thoughtseize, I think that Lifebane Zombie really hurts by not being able to have all colors represented equally. So I definitely think that once M14 rotates out, Standard will look a lot fresher. We'll obviously have a new set, and who knows what the base of that set will be, but those two cards are really impressive. Even if we just have Thoughtseize, I don't think Thoughtseize by itself will necessarily be as oppressive as it is right now with all the other sort of disruption that we have in the format. But I still think that that even though Standard's not exciting to talk about, I still think it's somewhat exciting to play.
No, I mean, you can play any number, like, you can play in a big event, you're going to play a large number of decks, and, like, metagame calling has been difficult, and
yeah.
Like, you've shown some, like, risky sideboard choices have really rewarded. We talked last week in depth about, you know, Staff of the Death Magus and everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, sometimes formats shift like that. Sometimes the format's about, you know, people bringing new decks every week, and those new decks rise to the top. You know, like last format we had, like, Hexproof just come out of nowhere and start winning things, and then we had, you know, the Naya deck just come out of, like, sometimes that happens, and then sometimes you have a format like this where tuning is really what it is. And I think and maybe I'm just being, you know, presumptuous here, but a lot of players, especially the kind of players that that net deck, and I'm not saying that as a negative thing, like, it's, you know, play the best deck sometimes, that's what you're gonna
I mean, there's definitely something to be said about, like, players that want to go there and get first places. Right. They choose the best deck.
But they choose the best deck based on last week and aren't doing the tuning that other players are doing. And right. That's probably the frustration. They're like, well, I don't know, like, how this is good or why this is this. And it's like, well, you're probably going to be three or four cards off. You know, you say, like, mono black with or without a whip. You know what I mean? If there's a lot of mono red, man, I hope you pack that whip. You know what I mean? But if you don't play against any mono red, well, you're going to be upset that you drew that whip and it didn't do anything for you. You know, ooh, I get a bunch of life against the control deck and now I'm dead to Aetherling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's as simple as that, and I think a lot of players don't want to, and it's not that they don't want to. I've said before that this format heavily rewards, and the same as last format, heavily rewards knowing your deck.
Right.
And a lot of players don't do that. They, like,
they don't
want to
put the time or effort into it.
They shift all the time. They like to play different decks all the time.
Listen, I mean,
you about to be like, yeah, some players just change decks willy nilly.
Ever since I built that black deck online, you know, that black red mid range list, I like playing that list. So,
how many events do you play that in?
I mean, I played it in FNM. Yeah, but to be fair,
I really like that list
as much as every other deck.
Listen, I haven't been very many standard events lately, and I can't go to FNM, so. Suck a dick. I don't know what to tell you.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying, like, but there's a lot of people, like, they don't want to spend the time with the deck because a different deck won. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the mono black just continues to win. So maybe just do that.
Yeah, maybe just play mono black or Esper or blue white.
Like,
or
so let's put this together. Born of the Gods, bad. Thoughtseize, Mutavault, good. Play the deck that's playing Thoughtseize, Mutavault, no Born of the Gods cards. Mono black. Done.
Or mono blue.
A deck tech of mono black for comedy value.
And format.
Yeah. And format. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, something that I don't think – it's something that's interesting to talk about, obviously, but it's certainly something to take note of, especially with a new set coming out. You know, these are still constants. These are still things that exist in the format. Evaluate these cards with that in mind. It is very important to do that. So we'll go ahead and we'll move on to cleanup. We want to thank you for listening, obviously. We also want to thank our sponsors at Empire Cards. So
all your Thoughtseize and Mutavaults.
Yeah, EmpireCards.com.
Your boxes of Born of the Gods.
Don't buy boxes of Born of the Gods.
If you do, though, buy them from EmpireCards.com.
Please. But maybe you could pre-order, you know, Journey to Nyx.
Oh, hey, can somebody explain to me how Journey to Nyx's hashtag is JOU?
Yeah.
I keep saying hashtag JOU for Journey to Nyx, and I'm like, those letters don't do anything. I don't understand.
That's the official hashtag.
I don't get it. What am I missing?
Shouldn't it be JTN, you would think?
I mean, well, it would be like either JIN, right? Journey
into Nyx, yeah.
Right? But, like, I could say, like, JNX or something. Yeah, but, like, yeah. JOU, I don't get it.
Well,
yeah.
It's obviously the first three letters of Journey, but, like...
Yeah, I know, but I don't get
but
it.
Doesn't, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I hate you. but, again, yeah, do check out EmpireCards.com. They are a lovely sponsor, and we of course, want to give them their props.
We are going to... all of us, I think, but at least myself and I think Morgan.
Yeah.
Jordan was wavering a little bit, but we'll see. Are going to go to, there's a PTQ, once again, hosted by Universal Comics.
Yeah.
At the Champion Event Center, which, Center. I think we've actually spent like 2 or 3 hours total on the show talking about how amazing
you
that
have
is.
To go to Champion Event
but,
Center.
Carl
I'll bring you
Empire,
dollars for hamburgers. Oh, man.
Carl and Empire will be there. Doing the singles again for them as well.
So, yeah, most certainly. And they'll have sleeves and everything like that. It is limited format still, obviously. So
yeah, but this is sealed.
Yeah, so you know, be prepared for that.
You are paying money for War of the Gods. I'm sorry.
You know, half. You know, you're
so
like
actually just going against all the advice that we just gave you.
But it's like, think of it like this: it's like $20 for War of the Gods, and then another $20 for Theros. It'll probably be fine. Who knows? Who cares? You don't even care about what you open. You're passing it anyway. Just hope someone else is. You know, you get the sweet pool, and you get to make the sweet decks. So, yeah. But do go. It is limited. It is $40. Also, registration is 8 to 9. Very important to know, because it is a sealed, so you have to do things like open your seal and register everything. So, you know, just hey. No, I only
you
say
have to build your deck when
I
you
only
get
say
tournament.
This. Listen, I only say this is because obviously we mainly talk about constructed formats, so people may not know that. Also, when
I'm
we were
construct a limited deck.
So the way the sealed format works, if I recall, is you get 6 packs and you open the sealed product. Is that the namesake of sealed format?
Jordan, I'm just trying to be
already
helpful.
Opened?
I don't think so. I think they're sealed.
Oh.
You get it? Oh, it's a
you.
Combo.
Listen, I only bring this up because there were definitely
it's like Splinter Twin.
There were people that attended the CO Team Trios event that did not know this, and I think it's important.
Also not a PTQ. Just throwing that out there. I'm just
it's
saying.
Very different, like this rando event at Carl's There's versus...
If you don't know what sealed is and you think we're being mean right now, don't go to the PTQ.
Actually, go to the PTQ. And find the judge and
please.
Say, can I play Jordan Kennedy round one, please?
Yeah, free wins are good, right?
Please heed my advice.
For the new fight. I figured that was a joke you're making.
All right. Well, okay, again, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of At Your Insta. We will catch you guys next week, and have a good one. Bye.